Well, as you know, Jonathan and Paul are gone, so this morning I get a chance to share with you a little bit about what the Lord taught me over the sabbatic leave, the time that I got a chance to be away for 40 days. And one of the things that I heard one time, I don't know who said this exactly, but it said that smart people learn from other mistakes, right? In other words, we all can learn from our own mistakes, but smart people learn from other people's mistakes. So this morning I want you to be smart and learn from some of the things, the passages that the Lord has just pressed on my heart, some of the things the Lord has been stirring up in my own life, so that hopefully you guys have an opportunity to see the Lord work in your own life. Because you may not get a sabbatical. This is my 20th year of youth ministry, and the first time I've ever taken a break from it over those years. And so just it was a blessing from the Lord, and I thank you. My family thanks you just for your love and support and the way that you guys are a blessing to us. As we kind of get into it, first thing I need to just get out of the way is that whatever you think about sabbatical may not be exactly correct. Like when we had youth group and I was sharing a little bit about sabbatical, I made some little some pictures to illustrate that. So I wanted to show a couple of them to you. Tara said, you're the youth minister, you can get away with showing some goofy pictures. So when you think about sabbatical, this might be one of the first things that I just slept all the time. That might be your thoughts about my life, is that that's just basically me. All I did for 40 days was sleep. And then whenever I was awake, then I did this. I just read the Bible, right? That's maybe your picture of sabbatical, that there was just constant sleep. And then every waking hour I was in God's word. And then, you know, I fell asleep with this just on my chest and then woke up the next day. But, you know, in actuality, that really isn't a sabbatical leave. That would probably be awesome, sabbatical leave. Maybe I should try that next time. But this is more like sabbatical leave. I played a lot of games over sabbatic leave, right? Board games with the family, just phone games, just played games. I loved to play games, watch games, do things on that. I love to watch the Olympics. Anybody like to watch the Olympics? Yeah. Wishing I could do that, right? Wishing I could run hurdles like that. I used to coach hurdles, but I couldn't ever run them, right? And so when you think about sabbatical, one of the things that happens when everything that you just love, I love my job, by the way. I love what I do, and it was painful for me to give it up. But there's people in this room that did an amazing job. Rudy and Kelly did an amazing job. Steven, all of my youth helpers did an amazing job, because refuge is not built upon me. It's built upon Jesus Christ. And so everything that we do in refuge is to bring glory to him. And it doesn't matter if I'm there or not there. Jesus Christ is being glorified and honored. So thank you guys for giving me a chance to do that, have that break and not have to worry about what was going on there. I didn't worry about that at all. I just was really sad because I couldn't be there. But we'll get to that later. But sabbatic leave was interesting because you find out what you really love when you have nothing to do. And I would love to tell you that the first pictures were exactly, I don't really, you know, love sleep. I'd like to do things. But I found out that there's a lot of things that I love to do that maybe weren't so beneficial to who I was in my walk with Jesus Christ, because we try to jam things in, all those free time and the little gaps that we have. And sometimes the Lord has to point out to us that maybe that isn't the most healthy thing. And so we're going to start off in Romans chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 9. I know that this is not a sermon on Romans chapter 12. I know Jonathan will get there in probably like 8 months. Get through these three chapters away. But I want to start in verse 9. Just the focal verse is verse 17 for me, but the rest of it is just so rich. Like, you can't help but read this passage and just be awed at who God is and just the beauty of what he writes, right? And so verse 9 says, "Let love be genuine." I mean, you could preach an entire sermon, and Jonathan probably will, on just these few words, because love being genuine and being real is something that our world does not value. It's something that's different about us as believers in Christ. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do you realize how foreign this is to our world? Can you imagine two people on stage debating, but going, they're so amazing, they do such a great job, outdoing one another and showing honor? How far our world has come from this. We no longer show honor. Never mind, I'm not going to get into that. Right? We should, as believers in Jesus Christ, show honor. And we should outdo. I should be trying to outdo your love for me, while you're trying to outdo my love for you. That is the way God has called us to live as believers in Christ. And he's called us to love others even if they can't love us back, right? If we keep going, it says, do not be slothful in zeal. Don't be lazy in your passion for Jesus. We should be the most passionate people on the planet because we are tapped in. We are plugged in to the source of hope. We are plugged in to the source of joy. We should be the most joyful, hopeful, enthusiastic people in the world. Not just because our favorite team won. We should be more enthusiastic about the Lord than we are about the football game or the volleyball game or whatever game is going on. We should be passionate about him. Be fervent in the Spirit. Be acting out in that love that is we're plugged into in the Holy Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Prayer is so often the weakest area of churches. You have a prayer meeting and you have like five people come to it. When it says here, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Seek to show hospitality. We should be looking for opportunities to bless our neighbors, to bless people around us, to bless those that are hurting. We should be showing hospitality, inviting people in. That's why I love our life group. We try to outdo each other in cooking because it's just like a great meal every time that we get there, right? Showing hospitality, loving on those around us. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. I love this verse because it's reminding us we don't have to just be joyful all the time. That when you go to a place that someone is mourning, that you are compassionate and you feel and you mourn with them. And you rejoice with those that are rejoicing. That we're sensitive to those that are around us. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And here's kind of the focal verse for me. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. One of the things that, just to sum up, one of the things the Lord taught me over this break is this idea that I need to respond more than I react. Like I need to be better at responding to a situation. Look what this verse says. It says, repay no one evil for evil, because that's what's natural to us, but give thought to do what is honorable, right? Give thought, take time, think about that response that you're gonna give. Respond, don't react. I was thinking about this with my son, Kale, who's been sick lately. I know allergies have been like super crazy around, but he actually had a virus. And so the other night I heard that sound. I was sitting downstairs, probably playing on my phone or something. I'm really holy like that. Just sitting downstairs, just whatever. And I heard that noise, you know, parents that we hear, the throw up noise. And I remember thinking, oh good, Tara's upstairs. Like I remember thinking that in my mind, like, oh, she's gonna go do it. And then like that part of you is like, no, I can't just let my beautiful wife just go clean up recycled spaghetti, right? You can't let her do that. So went upstairs and you know, no, I'll get it. We kind of do that little fight where no one wants to win, like, no, I'll clean it up. No, I'll clean it up. And I finally won over. So, you know, cleaning all that. And I remember responding to Kale, like, oh, Kale, buddy, I'm so sorry that happened. You know, I hope you're okay. Here's a rag. Here's a bucket. Try to hit that next time. You know, and just kind of loving him and responding to that stuff. And then when I think about it, probably like 5 hours earlier, he bumped a cup over. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I got mad because he spilt water. And yet for some reason, when he recycled things, right, I cleaned it up with joy and compassion. And why was that different? I responded to a situation instead of reacting immediately to a situation. One took 2 minutes to clean up. One took longer than that to clean up. We need to be better at responding. You know what? That's made me a better husband because I'm less likely to respond to something my wife says. I respond in a loving way, not react in a hurt, defensive way. Taking that time to think before I act, right? Being slow to speak, slow to become angry, quick to listen, like James 1:19 says. Choosing to respond rather than react. That is one of the, that's been such an enlightening thing to me, just to bring my heart and my mind back to where the Lord wants it to be. Look at verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We are called as believers in Jesus Christ to overcome evil with good. And to me, the only way that you can do that, the only way that you can do that is for you to understand and to feel the love of God. That's one of the things that I struggle with many times in my ministry. And one of the things that God began to awaken in me, and one of the things that I pray for you, is that you will learn how to feel the love of God again. Do you remember back to that time when you just got saved? Like, remember back. Just try to think back to that time when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For me, I was a sophomore in high school. I was at Highland Lakes Camp, and we were at a retreat. And I remember listening to the preacher, and he was talking about the armor of God. And I was so pumped because I'm a football guy. I'm like, dude, I get to wear a helmet full time when I'm with Jesus, helmet of salvation, like breastplate of righteousness, like shoulder pads. And I was like pumped, man. I'm like, I'm suited up. I'm ready to go. Come on, Satan, let's do this. And I'm just running around. I was like, bouncing my step like, dude, I love Jesus. And I'm just telling everybody about it, you know, and that went back to school, and I'm telling people about Jesus and getting my first Bible study, and I'm going good. And then 6 months later, just do something stupid, right? Just, you know, cuss at someone, or just get angry and frustrated, or just anger lashing out, and then something happens. All of that weight that I was carrying around before, that weight belt of sin and all that stuff that I was carrying, I just set it free with Jesus, and I was running around light of foot, having a great time. And then all of a sudden, a bad thing happens. And what do? I grab onto it, stick it in my backpack, right? And I don't take it to the cross. And I begin to get bogged down. I begin to get weighed down by the things of the world. And I forget the love that God has for us. In Ephesians chapter 3, that's another area that I landed on over this break. It's just a passionate plea of Paul that we need to be able to understand this love of God. Look what it says in verse 14. I'm going to start there. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help strengthen us so that we could understand the love of God, the width, the depth, the height, the amazing love that God has for us that surpasses knowledge. Because most all of you in this room know that God loves you. You know that God is love, but you don't feel it. You don't feel that embrace of his love for you. And you walk through life and you begin to feel the embrace of the things of this world when they love you, instead of the glory of God. God is a personal God that loves us. And it's hard to remember that. And we need the Holy Spirit's strength to have the love of God that's greater than the love of the things. The only way to overcome addiction, the only way to overcome sin, is to love something more than your addiction. And that something more has to be Jesus Christ. And he wants to awaken that in you. And I had forgotten that. I mean, I read the Bible all the time, but I read it for your sake. I hadn't been reading it for my sake. I had been reading it for what I was going to tell the youth or what I was going to tell you instead of reading it for me. And I had to be alone, away from everyone, to have to read it for myself because there was no one else to tell about it. And so the Lord awakened it in me in kind of a unique way. Here, I got one more meme thing for you. Does anybody know who this is? I mean, I know that's me, but Bob Ross, the happy painter guy. Anybody seen Bob Ross show, right? PBS for years and years, right? There's no mistakes. There's only happy accidents, right? And you see a squirrel all the time or some kind of furry animal he's loving to do. Well, man, 16 years ago, I was just loving Bob Ross, just thinking, love watching the show. He made it look so easy. And that Christmas, 16 years ago, my parents bought me a Bob Ross paint set. The different paints, the brushes, you know, all those kind of different things, and bought it for me, right? 16 years ago. I had not opened it once in 16 years. Not one time. It got stuck in the closet, then it got stuck in the art bin, and then it got buried under all the tempera paint because that paint actually washes off really easily when you're painting with kids, and it was just on the bottom, buried away. And for the first time, 16 years, over sabbatically, if I took it out, oh, hey, let me try. So I brought you a couple of things I painted over the break, right? That one's Friday. It's still wet, by the way, so I might not want to touch that one, right? So every Friday since that time of sabbatical, I've been painting every Friday. And it has just changed the way I've seen the world. Something about God as the creator is so much more real to me. Like this morning when I was driving up here and the sunrise was coming up, which I hear is really beautiful because I don't ever see the sunrise. But I hear it's really amazing. I drove up this morning. It was just so amazing. The sun coming through the clouds and brightness. And my immediate thought was, I wonder if I could paint that. I wonder, why is that cloud purple instead of yellow or white or brown or black? I mean, why did God give us color? Why does he have a butterfly look so beautiful and then slam into my windshield and turn like yellow blood out of it and all that? I don't know why that happened, but why is the butterfly yellow when it splatters? I don't know. Just the colors have been so brand new and so vibrant to me because all of a sudden I'm trying to create like my father, the creator. We need to get back. I don't know what it is for you that's going to change the lens that you see. Because most of you, when you look on your phone, on Twitter, and someone puts the sunrise, you're like, oh, that's really pretty. Guess what? Step outside. It's a bigger screen, right? It's more beautiful when you see it for real, right? For some reason, we think it's beautiful. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's like a little baby, and you like to be around babies, right? And they're just so gorgeous, and that feeling comes in where it's like, oh, like Lila Rose Smith, the little my grand youth, right? Maybe you need to just be around babies, and oh, just look in their eyes, right? Maybe for you, it's music. Maybe something about the music. Maybe some of you haven't played a musical instrument since the time you were like in junior high. Maybe you need to bring it back out again. Oh, and here's what I hear. And I've heard it like for two services out in the foyer. I just don't have time for that. I don't have time. I'm just too busy. It's not true. I'm going to give you an example. How many of you put gas in your car? You got time to put gas in your car. Why? Well, it won't work if it doesn't have gas in it, right? But for some reason in our spiritual life, we don't feel like we have to fill up. In our spiritual life, we act like the college kid who like gets the change out. I'm going to take $1.20, right? And you go out there and you're like, shh, right? And you're like, okay, I can make it to Walmart and back, right? And then that's your life. And that's how you treat your spiritual life. You're like, well, come on Sunday morning, $1.20, shh, right? You don't take time ever to fill up. I could tell you now, my family would say, you need to take time for yourself to fill up in the Lord because dad is happier and more joyful and more fun to be around because he's filled up with Jesus. You see, if we would truly be in love with this word and truly in love with God, if we were immersing ourselves in the word of God, memorizing scripture, reading, listening to the podcast, just getting into that, when we reacted, we would react of the Lord. It would be safe to react if you were filled up with God and the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. But the problem is we overflow our life with things that aren't God. TV shows and music and Twitter feeds and Facebook and all of these other things that don't always, and they do at times bring glory to the Lord, but they're not like this book. We've lost a passion for God's word. We've lost the we can memorize the lines to our favorite song. I can tell you the third string quarterback of the Houston Texans is Tom Benjamin Savage. I know his middle name. What? Crazy. How do I know that, right? Needless facts. But we know those things because that's where our love is. Where is our true love? We need to be reawakened to that. I don't know what it is for you. Some of you have wood out back that you haven't made something of, but you had a great plan for it. Create something. Don't say you don't have time. Well, we do have time. And I guarantee you that God will use that creativity to birth something in your life. And my guess is that it's going to bring benefit to those around you because of the joy that you have, right? But I have to tell you, it's not always a fun process to get there. I can tell you now that one of the main things about the sabbatical lead is that I feel so much more healthy now than I was before. And I didn't know that I was as sick as I was beforehand because I didn't take time to see that I was sick. But I have to tell you, one of the tools that God used during sabbatical leave was that I was really lonely. Just being real. I mean, I was really lonely. I have amazing friends, people that love me, but they didn't want to bother me. Like, you're on sabbatical leave. Like, I can't text you or call you or things like that because you're on sabbatical leave. And they wanted me to have that space and wanted me to have that time. But guess what? I went from having a lot of friends and a lot of people I saw all the time to having none. And it was hard. Like, there was times I felt extreme. Isn't it amazing that you can feel so lonely in a house of six people? Or you can feel so lonely in a room of 200 people? In a city of thousands, in an area of millions of people, we can feel so alone? It's amazing. But here's what the Lord was telling me. Just because you feel alone doesn't mean you actually are alone. That we have a God that is with us. Right? The sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross and resurrection, he sent his Spirit back. So he said, it would be greater that I leave you because you're going to get the help of the Spirit that's going to live inside of you. I looked up a couple verses just from the Old Testament that just talk about God being with us. This is 1 Samuel 12:22. It says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people to himself." You realize that the Lord is pleased to pick you and to spend time with you. That makes him happy. He's pleased to do that. He looked and he chose you. You know how great that should feel for you? That the God of the universe wants to spend time with you. He's not just some, you know, absentee landlord that made the earth, spun it, said, "Good luck, guys," and is watching from some perch up on high somewhere. He is a personal God that loves you. I remember back when I was a chubby little kid sitting in line waiting to get chosen. Remember back in the day when we would do that? We weren't PC back then. We're just like, line up. All right, who do you want? Who do you want? And you just kept picking. And then you're the guy sitting at the end like, hope I get picked soon, right? And I remember getting picked towards the end of that line because I was just a chubby little kid. And some of y'all know me now and you're like, dude, how did you get picked last? You're good at everything. You can do all this stuff. And that's why. I remember being this little chubby kid. And I said, no more. I'm tired of getting picked last. I'm going to be the best at this, that, this. I started running. I started running races. I started losing weight. I started playing sports. I started spending so much time on what my hand could throw a ball into, at, through, whatever became my life, became, I'm never going to get picked last again. So I tried to be the smartest guy in the class. I tried to be the best artist. I tried to be the best football player. I played 5 sports in high school because I didn't want to be left out of being the man. You know what? That's a very flimsy foundation to have your life built on, because there's always going to be someone better than you. Instead of finding joy in my relationship with who God is, right? We're not alone. God is pleased to spend time with you. Look what it says here in Isaiah 41. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Deuteronomy 31:8. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed." Our God is not like the people around us. Many times those people leave. He is a God that is for us. He is with us. He will not forsake us. Psalms 34, verse 17 and 18 says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears them and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." And when you are brokenhearted and you are crushed, just like we sang about, that the Lord is near us. He is with us. That is where you can feel his presence the most, when you don't have the ability to do it on your own. That's when God is with us. I want you to do me a favor. If you have a pen next to you, I want you to circle on your message notes, there's that word forgive, okay? That word forgive. You know, one of the things that I realized about feeling lonely is how much unforgiveness I had in my heart. How much I held against people that I loved, people that were around me, and how much I needed to forgive them. I could tell you I spent days wrestling with the Lord about forgiveness. Lord, do I really need to forgive them? Some people I had to go to them and tell them I forgive you. Others I just had to forgive them and give the freedom of leaving those things behind, those little just regrets and those little shots that they had taken, had to leave all that behind to be able to have that freedom again. I don't know who you need to forgive. But if you're anything like me, I had a long list. I mean, it wasn't like, never mind, I won't go that far. It was a list that I had held on. Because what happens when you don't forgive, when you have unforgiveness in your heart, what happens is your heart becomes callous. And that's the second thing that I really discovered inside of me on sabbatical that I didn't realize was how callous my heart had become to feelings. I basically had shut down any feeling except for frustration and anger. I knew those two. Those are my bent in life, all right? That door is always open. But I had shut down love. I didn't know how to feel love from my wife or from my friends. And you know why? It was easier to protect myself from criticism, protect myself from getting hurt by this person or that person. I just shut a lot of that down. And just figuring out over sabbatical break, that's just not healthy. There's a guy that's a rap artist named NF, and he has a song called Mansions, where he describes his heart and his mind as being kind of this mansion and having these different rooms in there. And I was just imagining that over my own life a little bit, thinking about what rooms do I have in my mind, in my heart, in this mansion. One of the rooms that I have open is this room of anger. Right, and I was thinking about I was trying to put a mental picture with what does that room of anger look like in my room and in my mind. And I imagined all these holes in the wall where I'd just gone in and let my frustration out about these different things. And then I just got tired of hurting myself, punching the wall. So I put up pads all the walls, which, you know, really is just an insane asylum, right, with padded walls. And realized how much time I like to spend in that room of anger. And then as I started just looking around the rest of my mansion, I realized that I'd shut all the other doors. I mean, I had a living room. You could come over and hang out and you see all the good stuff, right? And the outside of the house was painted, looked well, looked good. Everything on the outside looked great. But I had shut off all of these other doors in my mansion and not let anyone in. And then I'd hired this guy to basically be my butler. His name was Pride. So he would just kind of meet you at the door. And when you wanted to come in, he would show you the parts that he wanted to show you. And then he would ask you to leave after you made him feel good enough for being there, right? Pride is not a very good butler for your mind. Anger is not a very good room. I needed someone to come in and help me redecorate. And guess what? It's not other angry people, right? I can't let other angry people come in because like, oh, I love this room, right? We need to put more pads up in here, right? And that's not the healthy person. We need someone that cares about us and loves us and wants to come in and wants to open the doors and wants to change it. And that person is Jesus Christ. And if you can't do it on your own, get help doing it. Find someone that can say, what are the areas of your life that you begin to shut off from the rest of the people that are around you? Because when those doors begin to open, you begin to feel again, you become free again. Free to live and to find joy in the everyday things. For some reason in our world today, we think that looking in the mirror of like self-analysis, looking inside at our own things is gonna make us well. Guess what? It's not gonna make you well looking inside. Only looking at him is gonna make you well. Only chasing after the example of Jesus Christ in our life is going to make us well. And we need that helps. Surround yourself with people in life group that love you and are willing to walk through. People that you feel safe with, that you can open up a door, even if it's just a little crack and go, hey, this is what's going on in this life. I have jealousy in my life. Check this out. Oh, I don't want to open up the door of love because I fear you're going to beat us like everybody else and leave me. Open up those rooms to your house. Open them up to the Lord first and invite other people in to help you deal with those things. I got a chance to do that just over the sabbatical even. It's brought so much freedom to me. As I was thinking about this freedom that the Lord is helping me walk in, there are three things that I think have helped me reset my mind a little bit. One of them is, as you know, I just love painting and loving that. I just want to challenge you. When you go outside today, look at the sky. Just look. You realize that there's different shaped clouds, right? Like they don't all look the same, right? Do you realize that we are on a huge round rock flying around a fireball at thousands of miles per hour, right? You realize that right now we're not sitting still. We're flying in space somewhere. And there's a God that made all of that, thought it up, and is keeping it all in order. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we worship. Let's not forget that. Because you can easily walk outside and just go on and stare at the speedometer, right? While you're in between checking your phone as you're driving home. Don't do that, by the way. It's dangerous, right? We pay more attention to whatever sign is up there for the food place we want to go to than we do looking at God's creation of the sky. Here's another one. You realize that tomorrow's Monday, right? You realize that tomorrow is the same number of hours as today? You have the same opportunities tomorrow to spend time with God that you do today. Oh, no, you don't know my work schedule. I know what work schedules look like. I coached and taught and did youth ministry all at the same time. I understand lots of hours of working. Step out and fill up that tank again. Right? Take time to spend it with the Lord. You have a commute, what a better time to spend with the Lord. You realize your Bible on your phone, it will read the Bible to you. I don't have time to read the Bible. It'll read it to you, okay? No excuses anymore. I mean, we have podcasts, we have worship. What is it that the Lord, you have an opportunity. Do you think it's an accident that you're at your job? You have an opportunity tomorrow to do something for the glory of the Lord. Doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter who you work with. You have an opportunity. If we could start saying, tomorrow is an opportunity to spend time with the Lord and doing his glory, it would change the way we look at work. It would change the way that we live life, right? We need to change our perspective. And that's one of the things that I'm so thankful to the Lord that he's helped me do is change perspective in different things. You know, one of the paintings that I did over the break is this little fire painting guy right here. And with a little fire and stuff like that. And it's actually on a black canvas, which thinks it's kind of weird to have a dark canvas and you're trying to kind of to paint on there. But you'd be amazed at how much the light shows up on a dark canvas. But anyway, and one of the things that I did on this canvas was I covered the whole thing with this crimson color, this red color, right? And then in order to get the fire kind of effect with it, you would add yellow to the middle and just begin to use your stroke away from the center and create the blend of different colors and things like that, right? And that's us. We're going to go into a world that is dark, but we get a chance to be the light. But you know how many times I had to do the fire in the middle before it shone bright as it needs to show? And in between every time and all the strokes, you have to clean the brush or else it's just going to bleed all the darkness into it, right? And in our life, in the same way, every day, we've got to clean the brush. We've got to spend time with the Lord, laying down our sin before him, refreshing, putting new color on the brush before we go into a world that is against us. But if we will, we're going to create something beautiful. You understand that there's a lot of strokes in this painting, right? You understand that each one of us is like a little stroke in the plan that God has for our community, for your workplace, that you have an opportunity to be a part of the light that's going out, reflecting him to the world. That's my encouragement to you. What are you going to do to take the light into the world? All right, let's pray. Lord, we come before you thankful for who you are, the way that, Lord, we can take our sin to you and we can be washed white as snow, Lord, that you can become you can make us new, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you so much, Lord, for just this church and their love for us and our family and the chance we had for sabbatical leave, Lord. And just thank for what you've done just in my heart, just some renewal and healing in my life, Lord. I thank you that even though it was tough, Lord, that you are good and faithful through all of it. Lord, help each of us in this room, Lord, to understand the glory of your name, that your skies proclaim the works of your hands, Lord. Day after day, they pour forth speech, Lord, that there's no language where people don't understand the beauty of the creation that you have made. Help us, Lord, to be able to see the world differently, to be able to look out and see the glory of your creation, Lord. Help us to look into your word. Help us to hide it in our heart, Lord. Help us to put it in our mind, Lord, so that our initial reaction is you, Lord. Help us to think and take every thought captive, Lord, before we speak it. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to one another. Help us to be a blessing to the people of the world that need hope in you. Lord, I thank you just for the way that you talk to us through your word. Lord, we pray for your blessing over this next day. Lord, that tomorrow we'll be able to do something for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.